It came out of the blue. By The Walrus Said. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. The trouble with Niccolo, Yusuf thinks, tightening his grip on the man's neck, is not that Yusuf doesn't know where they stand. It's that Niccolo himself doesn't seem to know where he wants them to stand. Niccolo had been the first to extend his hand. After days and weeks of endless slaughter, the first to drop his sword to one side and say, "Pax," after sitting and waiting for Yusuf to resurrect like the man Niccolo's armies claimed to follow. He had seemed genuinely remorseful in the moment, and in the weeks following their uneasy truce as they stumbled toward shared language and an answer to their shared immortality. Niccolo had been the one to want peace, and yet he had also been the one to needle Yusuf about the sloppy way he repaired the seam of his breeches until Yusuf had had no choice but to reach for a handful of mud and smear it into Niccolo's pale face. And he had been the one to escalate it further, grappling Yusuf around the shoulders and attempting to pin him down until Yusuf had gotten the upper hand and rolled them over, putting his hands on the man's throat as a warning. Even now, after the tightening of his grip, Niccolo can still breathe easily. The rasping in the sound is from surprise, to judge from his wide eyes as he blinks up at Yusuf. Yusuf is sitting on his chest, making no real effort to alleviate the strain of his weight on Niccolo's chest. Unbidden, his thumb digs into the hollow at the base of Niccolo's throat. "Enough," Yusuf says, slowly and clearly. They speak Greek for every day, but he repeats the word in Arabic and again in Ligurian to make sure there is no misunderstanding. "Nod if you comprehend." Niccolo nods frantically, his pulses jumping under Yusuf's hands, fragile and quick like a bird. "Good," Yusuf says, and removes his hands from Niccolo's neck, putting them on the ground so he can push himself first to one foot and then to both. He steps over Niccolo's prone body and returns to their campfire, leaving the man to regain his feet and his dignity both on his own. Yusuf thinks that's the end of it, the last rush of Niccolo's inherent violence gasping out like a fire under a blanket of dirt. He thinks that for 3 weeks, until Niccolo embarks on a barely provoked rant about the supremacy of the Catholic Pope, his voice growing higher and more desperate with each word. His eyes are wide and wild. And when Yusuf finally tires of hearing it and punches him square in the nose, his grunt of pain sounds almost relieved. Yusuf's blow knocks Niccolo flat on his back and he groans, his hands over his nose, which is already gushing blood like a fountain. Yusuf sighs and stands, walking over to him and putting a foot on his chest to keep him down. "Is this how it will be?" Yusuf asks tiredly, gazing down at the man under his shoe. Niccolo blinks up at him, already looking sorrowful. It is remarkable, Yusuf reflects, how much regret a white man can put into his face. "Tell me truly, Niccolo, is this something you need? Do you need to be purged every so often, but of violence rather than blood?" "I do not wish to be a man of violence any longer," he says, a plaintive note in his voice despite his best efforts. "If you need to be thrashed every so often, tell me now that I may resign myself to it." Niccolo's nose has stopped bleeding and has indeed straightened itself upon his face to its original prodigious shape. "No," he says thickly. His bloody hand reaches out until it almost touches Yusuf's boot before snatching it back to his chest. "I apologize, Yusuf. My words were irredeemable." "The worst part," Yusuf says, "is that you no longer believe them. But you still felt the need to force me to listen to them." "I'm sorry," Niccolo says again, as though he can't say anything else. "Why?" Yusuf asks. His boot is still on Niccolo's chest, pressing down just the lightest amount. Niccolo just shakes his head. Resigning himself to disappointment, Yusuf removes his foot and extends his hand to pull the man to his feet. Niccolo is true to his word and does not provoke Yusuf to further acts of force. Yusuf does not ask again why the first two times were necessary, and Nicola does not offer an answer of his own volition. He returns to the man Yusuf has come to know since they left Jerusalem, although, as first 1 month and then another slips away after Yusuf bloodied his nose, that man becomes a twitchier version, on edge, flinching at every sound, and shivering at night despite the thick heat of the air. Maybe Christians do need a thrashing every so often, Yusuf reflects, watching Nicola's back tremble as he tries to sleep. Stranger things are true of them, as a breed. 10 weeks have passed since their last fight, when Yusuf, 100 yards from their campsite, hears another band of travelers passing by the bushes where he is foraging for berries and mushrooms, and to judge by the sound of their steel, they are not the sort to make friends. He freezes in place, kicking himself for leaving his sword with Nicola. The bandits do not seem to be making camp, for which he is grateful. But there must be a bend of the same stream Yusuf and Nicola are employing up ahead, for the new travelers linger for a long time, splashing and laughing and sparring. Yusuf's legs begin to cramp, and he is thinking seriously about the risks of making a break for it when familiar footsteps come up behind him. He hears Nicola open his mouth, and there is no time to explain. He drops his arm full of food and spins around, tugging Nicola into a tight embrace to stop his movements and slapping a hand over his mouth. "Bandits," he whispers into Nicola's ear, barely more than a harsh breath. Nicola nods once in understanding. Yusuf makes to let go of him when he realizes his companion is trembling again, but not in the same manner he has been for weeks. Instead, the tremors in his body feel like relief, like a cessation of pain. Oh, Yusuf has been a fool, and Nicola has been a bigger one. Confident in Nicola's ability to be silent, Yusuf removes his hand from the man's mouth, placing it instead on the side of his neck. His other arm is still tied around Nicola's chest, and his own chest is pressed against Nicola's back. Nicola shudders, his eyes falling shut in bliss. They stay like that for another 5 minutes until the bandits finally tire of their rest and move on. Nicola's shaking has died down, and Yusuf releases him once the coast is clear, bending to gather up the fallen scavengings. They do not speak of it until they are back at their own campsite and the mushrooms are spitted over the fire. "Why did you not say what you needed?" Yusuf asks, when Nicola has stopped fussing and resumed his seat on the log opposite Yusuf's. "Why resort to force?" Nicola blushes, his cheeks turning a patchy pink. "I feared you would feel obligated," he mumbles, after a few moments of listening to the fire pop and crackle. "I feared my needs, as you put it, would be an imposition. And I have imposed so much upon you already," he finishes, looking down at his large hands as they pass over each other. "And you thought provoking me to rage and violence was the better option?" Yusuf asks, incredulous. Nicola looks away. "You cannot tell me you no longer harbor the desire to hurt me," he murmurs. "The heavens know I deserve it." Yusuf picks up a dry stick from the ground and throws it at him. It impacts his shoulder, and Nicola turns back to him, startled. "Do not decide for me what treatment I wish to give you," he says, making his voice gentle but stern. "Nod if you comprehend." Nicola hesitates but finally nods. "Good," Yusuf says. "Now come over here." He gestures to the ground in front of his seat. Startled again, Nicola obeys, pushing his long, powerful form to his feet and moving the few steps over to Yusuf. He pauses, unsure, and Yusuf tugs on his breeches until he sits. "Turn your back to me," Yusuf says, and Nicola obliges him. Yusuf tugs at him until Nicola is sitting perfectly parallel to him, his shoulder pressed against Yusuf's thigh and Yusuf's calf against his knee. "Is that better?" Yusuf asks. "Yes," Nicola says quietly. "Much. Thank you." "You are welcome," Yusuf says. "Do not fear to take my kindness, Nicola. Kindness is not deserved through action, only through existence." "I will not make that mistake again," Nicola says, still in that same low voice. The day is growing darker, and the setting sun casts shadows through the trees on the back of Niccolo's head. Yusuf regards them for a moment, and then reaches out and sifts his fingers through Niccolo's hair. Judging by the way Niccolo sighs and tips his head into the caress, the touch is welcome, and Yusuf scratches his fingernails lightly against Niccolo's scalp, drawing another satisfied sigh from the man. They sit there together until the sun has set and the food is cooked. Yusuf is a little regretful when it comes time to separate, but there will be another night, another campfire, and Niccolo will still need his touch then. The thought fills him with the same sort of peace he sees on Niccolo's face as he serves Yusuf the first mushroom. The end.